Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The U.S. Supreme Court today is dealing with the issue of sales tax, specifically internet sales tax. I have two questions for you. First, do you know why sales tax is immoral? Do you know why it's immoral? And secondly, what talk show host in the country today dealing with this news story will describe to its audience why a sales tax is immoral and why Christians, why conservatives, why everyone really should oppose a sales tax. So first, do you know why a sales tax is immoral? And secondly, could you name, if you have the name of a talk show anywhere in the country that will tell their audience today why a sales tax is immoral, could you email that to us? Just send it to bob@kgov.com, bob@kgov, like government, bob@kgov.com. Before we get to that, a couple news stories. There's a quote from the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, Susan Sutherland, in the Colorado media about the Republican candidate for governor, Cynthia Kaufman, that mentions the blackness in her heart, Cynthia Kaufman's heart. So I want to read that quote to you. Also, Neil Gorsuch, who we've been warning you about, conservative, Christians, Republicans, pro-lifers, absurdly, have cheered the nomination of Neil Gorsuch and lobbied for him to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate, which he was, which means that we have yet another Republican-nominated justice to the U.S. Supreme Court who agrees with the central holding of Roe v. Wade, that the unborn child does not have a right to life, that the unborn child does not have a God-given right to life. That's so tragic. And so Donald Trump's supporters were disappointed today with Neil Gorsuch when they found out that he sided with liberals. When you have someone, anyone, including a governing official, who sides against the right to life of the innocent, including and especially as with innocent children, then you know that this person is the enemy. This person is not to be trusted. This person is to be warned, confronted, rebuked, challenged, but certainly not supported and not advocated for high government office. Also in the news today, this, wow, scary. A Southwest Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia when an engine exploded and a window broke out and it partially sucked a woman into the window opening. That's horrifying. A passenger is hit with shrapnel. So, wow, just horrific. And it does remind us, as Jesus discussed in the Gospels, I'm thinking of Luke chapter 13, when a tower in Jerusalem fell. It was in the part of the city, the old city Jerusalem, known as Siloam. There was a pool of Siloam and the tower of Siloam. The tower fell and it killed 18 people. And so Jesus used that opportunity first to correct superstition, to criticize the superstition of some of his followers and some of the folks listening to him who would think that, well, this tower falling and killing these 18 people, it must have happened for a reason. It must be that God somehow is punishing these people. And Jesus got angry at that. I tell you, no. And then he tried to correct their thinking and have them take a news event like that. And he mentioned another news event, the murder of some worshipers who were coming south from Galilee to Jerusalem. He used those news headlines to try to get people to think about what's right and what's wrong. And in a story like this, we realize that none of us are more than a moment away from seeing our Creator face to face, as far as we know, because life is tenuous. And to prepare for eternity is wise. And to live as though this life is all there is foolish. Stephen Hawking now knows that he was wrong for almost his entire life. Stephen Hawking knows that he was wrong. There is an afterlife. There is a judge of all the earth. There is a creator. And Stephen Hawking has brought many people with him to hell. Many people. Therefore, his judgment will be far worse than the judgment of others. So we see something like this happen. Our hearts go out to the people who were terrified in it. And we think about the things that really matter. Like when the reporter for the Huffington Post, Jason Salzman, who also writes for the Colorado Times Recorder, called Colorado Right to Life to ask for a comment about Cynthia Kaufman, wife of longtime politician Mike Kaufman, Republican, who's running for the governor of Colorado. And Susan Sutherland is the vice president and a spokesperson for Colorado Right to Life. And she told Jason Salzman that we have never considered Cynthia Kaufman to be against abortion. She used to do more, Cynthia Kaufman, to make anti-abortionist, abolitionist, personhood advocates think that she was on the side of the unborn child, but she's not. And so Susan Sutherland's quote right now at ColoradoTimesRecorder.com is this: "The words Cynthia Kaufman speaks expose the blackness in her heart. She would make a terrible governor, as she has no desire to represent the people, considering the thousands of people she's willing to have slaughtered on her watch." Absolutely correct. It doesn't matter that Cynthia Kaufman may be electable. What matters is that she advocates the killing of innocent children, and she should be warned, because Cynthia Kaufman has an eternal soul. Her husband, Mike Kaufman, in the U.S. Congress, her husband has done virtually nothing to protect the unborn child. Virtually nothing other than what is symbolic, and has resisted supporting what is substantive in fighting to abolish human abortion and for the government to recognize and uphold the personhood of the unborn child. Okay, that's from Susan Sutherland and Colorado Right to Life. And now we get to the issue that's been taken up today by the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's sales tax, only they're looking at a narrow aspect of it, internet sales tax, and whether states like South Dakota and 34 others, whether those states can compel out-of-state companies to collect and remit sales tax to South Dakota. When you have a corrupt government and a corrupt culture, and you, as someone who cares about right and wrong, if you care about God, you care about His word, and issues come up, virtually everything is controversial because virtually nothing is neutral. So almost everything is controversial. Even the temperature is controversial. Even whether someone is male or female is controversial, because of the long war against God. So when something comes up like sales tax, it is very hard to first remove yourself from the immorality, the corruption of the culture, and think clearly. Let's say you were a Christian growing up in Germany during the 30s, or you were a Russian growing up in the Soviet Union, or one of the other countries that became part of the Soviet Union. And you're in one of those political climates, and the subject of taxation comes up. And taxation is all messed up, it's bureaucratic, it's difficult. And so people want recommendations as to how to improve taxation in Nazi Germany or in the Soviet Union or in Venezuela or in North Korea or in South Africa today, right now, or in Syria. Think about how difficult it is to first unwrap, to back out of the immorality that's part of your life's experience that is all around you, that seeps into your mind from the culture and from the government, and think clearly about the issue, about the matter, and then offer an opinion that is valid, that honors God, that is just, that is not immoral in any way. So that is part of the process of thinking clearly about issues that are fundamentally moral issues. Taxation is a fundamentally moral issue. God's enduring command, do not steal, applies to everyone, an individual, a corporation, a government. A government can potentially kidnap people. A government can potentially murder people. A government can potentially steal, right? Of course it can. Some people aren't even able to think that far. They think, well, if the government does it, it's obviously just. It's totally false. So are you able to think through and to explain why a sales tax is unjust? And do you know of any talk show host in the country that today, while sales tax is one of the top headlines with the U.S. Supreme Court addressing it, do you know of any talk show that's able today to explain to its audience why a sales tax is immoral, why it's unjust? And if you do, please email that here to bob@kgov.com. There's a movement, it's been around for a couple decades now, and it's called it's a national sales tax movement. It's called the Fair Tax. And their goal, they are mostly conservatives and libertarians. They want to do away with the national income tax and replace it with a national sales tax. So two of the main names in the movement is Ken Hoagland and Neil Bortz. And I have debated both of them on this topic. Now, sales tax is not one of our main topics here at Bob and Yurt Live. We deal with topics like creation. God is our creator. Apologetics for the Christian faith that God has become flesh in the man Jesus Christ and was crucified for our sins and raised from the dead. And we could know that these things are true. And then we deal with, of course, the moral issues, abortion, homosexuality, the perversion of homosexuality, and so on. But also we deal with taxation because it's relevant. When God said, thou shalt not steal, then if the government is tyrannical and if it is plundering the people by taking far more money in taxes than it has the right to take, then that's sin, it's wickedness, it's immoral. And those who advocate it then share in the guilt of the immorality. And then the government, having all this extra money that they do not have the right to have, they will spend it on things that will destroy lives. And so all of that accrues to the guilt of the people who advocate immoral forms of taxation and unjust levels of taxation. So when I debated Neil Bortz, he is a fellow radio talk show host. In fact, he's just retired now, but he was the national spokesperson for the Fair Tax movement, the national sales tax movement. And then I got to debate on a separate program. These are on our website, kgov.com/debates. You could find these there. Then I debated Ken Hoagland, who's the author of the movement, literally. He wrote the book, The Fair Tax Solution, and he has run for years the Fair Tax Organization. I debated both of them, plus another leader, I forget the name of the other leader, some years ago. And to their credit, the first challenge I gave to these men, to argue that their national sales tax was immoral and that it's wrong. To their credit, all three agreed with me that my argument was valid. And so right there, then, they lost the debate, and Denver Bible Church won the debate. And Bob and Yurt Live won the debate. And the Christian worldview won the debate. My first challenge to them was this, that there is no right of conscription. I said to Ken Hoagland, Ken, the government does not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector, something that millions of businessmen rightfully hate. They hate the fact that the government forces them to become tax collectors. So I said, Ken Hoagland, do you agree that the government has no right to force a businessman to become a tax collector? And to his credit, he said, yes, that's true. So that's it. Debate over, right? He's advocating for a national sales tax, and he admits that the government has no right to do it and that it's immoral and that people rightly despise the government for forcing them to become tax collectors. I asked Neil Bortz the same question, and to his credit, he agreed. It is so obvious on its face. As the debate was coming up, I mentioned on the show that we'll be debating the author of The Fair Tax Solution, Ken Hoagland. And I asked people, I said, you know, these guys, they seem to want to do right, but it's going to be ugly. You know, it's going to be a terrible debate for them. So it's just going to be a slaughter. And it's unfortunate because these guys could be spending their lives advocating for things that are true and good and right and of eternal value. And instead, they're just wasting their lives. And even worse, they're a bad influence on the culture, advocating what is immoral. And so one listener who doesn't like me all that much, but a longtime listener, I forget if he called or he emailed. And he said, Bob, why do you think you're always right? This is so annoying. You know nothing about this topic. I support the fair tax. Why do you think you're always right? And of course, my first response is always, in every argument, everyone thinks they're right. I've never known anyone to argue something that they think is wrong, and that's their position. They say, this is my position, and I think it's wrong, but I argue for it. I don't know anybody. I mean, you could role play when you're acknowledging that you're taking a position that's wrong in order to help other people hone their arguments against error and better understand the dynamics of the issue. You can role play, but everyone who I've ever heard argue their position, they all think they're right. So that seems to me to be a bizarre argument. Instead, it's better to engage on the substance and say, Bob, you think you're right in opposing a sales tax. Here's why you're wrong. That would be so much more effective. But at any rate, this poor listener, you know, then he listened to the Ken Hoagland debate. And again, it's on our website right now, kgov.com/debates. And I asked, it's on a national sales tax, which Ken and Neil Bortz and so many others, mostly libertarians and conservatives, that they advocate for. And I ask him, okay, I have 10 arguments against your national sales tax, but let's start with this first one. The government has no right to force a businessman to become a tax collector. True or false? Well, that's true. Well, we won the debate, you lost. You know, often I feel like I'm cheating. When you enter into a debate, it feels like cheating when you know the answer. And if you study the scriptures, if you study God's word so that you spend your life building a biblical Christian worldview, then you know the answers to most of the issues that are debated. You know the answers. It's like going to get a degree, and for every test, you got the answer sheet. And you feel bad because all the poor slobs around you are struggling and they, you know, they get half of everything wrong and you know the answers. So it's like that. because in the Bible, God tells us how to do these things the best way. And so we're cheating because we know, and it's so easy to expose the error. So millions of businessmen rightfully hate that the government forces them to become tax collectors. And the leaders of the fair tax movement agree that the government has no right. So let's get to the second argument. And some of these 10 arguments are against the fair tax that these libertarians and conservatives proposed, but others are just generally applicable to a sales tax, any kind of sales tax. Like that first one, no right of conscription. Now, the second argument is specifically against their version of a national sales tax, and theirs is called the fair tax. And so the fair tax continues confiscatory taxation. It continues it. What does that mean, confiscatory? That the government is plundering its people by taxing people far more than it has any right to tax them. So according to Ken Hoagland and the fair tax movement, when they do their national sales tax, it's about a quarter. It's not 25%, but it's approaching 25% of everything that you buy that's taxable, there'll be that sales tax. So if you go to the store and you buy something for $400, let's say you buy speakers for your living room, well, now it's going to be about $500, and that's the sales tax. So their argument is that the fair tax produces the same amount of revenue for the federal government as the current income tax system. So I pointed out to Ken Hoagland that this is a second enormous problem with your proposal, because the biggest problem with taxes in America is the horrendous amount of money that's taken by the government. Regardless of how it's taken and where the money comes from, giving absurdly vast tax revenues to a bloated socialist government. Now, listen to this. Giving absurdly vast tax revenues to a bloated socialist government is like giving heroin to an addict. Is it better for the U.S. government to get another $1 trillion in tax revenue? Is that better? I mean, more than it is collecting? No, that's not better. It's like giving drugs to an addict. Ken Hoagland, to his credit, he did agree with the lesser point there, but he missed the bigger point. I said, Ken, you're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic when you change the method of confiscatory taxation, but you continue to rob the American people of trillions of dollars over the course of, say, a presidential administration. So Ken Hoagland, he tried to defend his system, you know, and you could listen to the debate and you'll see that he was all confused. He didn't know how to respond. He was basically obfuscating, you know, because the government already takes so much money from Americans, we propose continuing to take the same amount of money, but then don't worry, the government will give some of it back to us in benefits. So it was just a completely broken response. So valid tax reform in America, valid tax reform would both cut the amount of taxes and remove injustices in the collection system. It would do both. It wouldn't do just one. It's like somebody's robbing you and you say to them, would you please rob me by a different method? I'm getting tired of this method. I'm getting tired of you holding me up in a back alley. Would you please rob me in my home? It'd be way more convenient to me. It's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The third argument against the national sales tax is that it entices millions of strangers who briefly meet to conspire together to defraud the government. And it fuels an illicit underground economy systematically, with far more interactions between individuals who are now primed and ready to defraud the government. We all buy and sell from 100 times more people than we employ, on average. If you take the whole nation and look at, well, how many people do you employ? How many people do you buy from? How many people do you sell to? It's 100 times more that we buy and sell from than we employ. So a national sales tax system systematically encourages strangers to conspire to defraud the government. It makes a terrible impression on the children who grow up around such transactions, and it generally undermines respect for the government itself. Now, on this challenge, Ken Hoagland, it was one of the ones that I think he was pretty much delusional in his response. He disagreed that the buying and selling relationship will give more opportunity to people to defraud the government. That was delusional, right? After that debate, a listener in Canada sent us an email, and he said, Bob Benyart is right on the money. This 22% fair tax system is socialist. The scheme is filled with other pitfalls. He said, here in Canada, we have about a 10% sales tax, and it's created a vast underground economy. Bob is right when he says that a sales tax encourages strangers to conspire to commit tax fraud. And then he talked about other problems that Canada has seen with it, including normal citizens who live near the border with the U.S. crossing the border to buy their stuff and then trying to smuggle it back into America. You're turning normal people into smugglers. It's not that there are not people who would try to avoid taxes, no matter what form of taxes, and no matter how much there are. It's that the system shouldn't maximize the motivation to conspire and to defraud. Our fourth argument against it, it's an impediment to startup businesses. A sales tax makes it far more difficult to enter into business, especially for the poor, especially for the young, and those with less business sense. It could become such a hurdle. Not only do they have to meet all the demands of operating a competitive and profitable business, but then the government forces them for each transaction to calculate a sales tax, to collect the tax, which makes it harder to make the sale while remaining legal, to segregate those funds, to resist the temptation to use that money in emergencies, and then to remit those funds, and then to keep records of all of that. Ken Hoagland, his response to that, he said, well, the current system is bad. So, and I reply, Ken, of course it's bad. So let's not fix it with something else that's bad. I mean, what kind of an idea is that? Here in, you know, in Golden, Colorado, you have what, 6 different sales tax districts that a young businessman would have to figure out? Let's continue this tomorrow because it's so important at understanding right and wrong and how the Bible helps us. May God bless you.